Okay, let's come to God's Word today. And we just finished the series on Jonah, as you know. And a couple of people asked me, what are you preaching on next? And I said, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. All right? Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. And they looked at it and they said, what? You know what is Matthew chapter 1? It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and so forth. And you look at it and say, oh, these are just a list of names. Now, let's be honest. How many of us, when we come to a list of names in the Bible, we skip it? Yeah, we say, oh, Uzziah and Uzzah, and you know, let's move on. And we skip it. Honestly, we do that, don't we? And but you know what? Behind each name is an amazing story of the grace of God. You know, and what happens is, by the way, all these people, except for Joseph and Mary and Jesus, are Old Testament people. You know that, okay? And often what happens is, as Christians, we can just spend all our time in the New Testament, isn't it? Yeah? We love reading the Gospels and other things. And we can dip into the Old Testament, maybe the Psalms, definitely, and Proverbs. But apart from that, you know, we don't really get into the Old Testament. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and in verse 11, Paul writes and says, now these things happened to them, he's talking about the people in the Old Testament, as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. So really, the Old Testament is part of Scripture as well, okay? And this is how it is. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so, as we met together, Sunit and Austin and myself, and we thought about it, and we said, okay, this is what we'll do. We want to get into God's Word in the Old Testament as well, and we'll preach on each of these characters mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. All right? So, for example, Abraham. Who's he? What's he famous for? What happened in his life? You know, Jacob, Isaac, and so forth. So that we have a diet of not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. And so today, I'm going to begin with Abraham, but, you know, some of these characters, take Abraham for instance. Yeah? He was known as the friend of God. He started off life as an idolater in Ur, and later on in Haran, okay, worshipping idols. That's what his background was. But James writes in chapter 2 that Abraham was then called a friend of God. That, what a distinction. Nobody else has been given that distinction. Okay? Abraham was called a friend of God. But of course, in later on in the New Testament, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. But Abraham, friend of God. He was childless. He was old. His wife was past childbearing. No children. And no possibility of having some. But God chose him and he said, your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Wow. You know. And Abraham is the father of the Jews and he's also the father of believers. Amazing. So he's a very important character in the Bible. After Moses, Abraham is the one who's mentioned the most times in the New Testament. And so this morning, this week and probably next week, we're going to look at the life of this wonderful man called Abraham. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 11, actually, where he's first mentioned. And we'll look there at verse 27. And we'll read to chapter 12. Okay, so turn with me to Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. Now, from Genesis 1 to chapter 11 in the Bible, okay, God is dealing with people as groups. We have the story of the creation takes place. We've got the flood. We've got the fall after creation. Adam and Eve fell. Okay, we've got the flood that destroyed the earth. And then we have the Tower of Babel. And these are the four great events that happen. But then, after those four events happen, God then focused on a family. Abraham and Sarah, his wife. And then from Genesis 12 right up to Genesis 25 is in more detail with just this one family. So, very important. Okay? So, let's read God's word and see from verse 27 onwards. Now, today's message is going to be an introduction and a springboard into this whole series on the Old Testament. So, let's start. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren, she had no child. So this was the state. Abraham married this woman who was barren, no hope of a child. Terah took Abraham his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Okay. We'll go on. Now the Lord, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and to your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that he had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Okay, so we'll stop there. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that these things in the Old Testament have been written for our instruction, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning as we look at Abraham, the great man of faith, the friend of God, as we look at his life as recorded in Scripture, Lord, you would speak to us, Lord. You would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Lord, I pray for myself as I preach that your great hand would be upon me as I proclaim your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see that God has great plans for Abraham. And we see grace right here at the beginning. In Joshua 24 verse 2, Joshua at the end of his life, or this Joshua chapter 24 verse 2, he talks about Abraham. And this is what he says. Okay. He says, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. To start off with, Abraham wasn't a righteous person. He wasn't a good person in that sense. He was an idolater. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and so on and so on. So to start off with, we see that our God is a God of grace. He chooses people, as he did with Abraham, not because of anything good that was there in Abraham. You know, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. And so right in the beginning, we see grace operating. There may have been many people living. It was a prosperous and big city, the city of Ur. But God chose one man, Abraham, one family, and encountered him and met with him. And we don't know all the details, but in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being martyred, when he was being, just before he was stoned, this is what he did. He spoke about the history of the Israelite nation. And Acts chapter 7, verse 2, Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia." We've all heard about Mesopotamia. We've studied that in school. "Before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you.' Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans," "and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living." All right? So that's what happened. So when he was there, God spoke to him and told him to move. Now, we don't know what happened, but it seems that Nahor, his brother, stayed back. But Abraham, his father, Abraham's nephew Lot and Sarah and their possessions, they moved out from Mesopotamia to Ur. Now, we've got to put things into context. Mesopotamia was a grand and a great civilization. Okay, it was a super city. And God is calling Abraham and he's saying, "Abraham, I want you to leave this great, comfortable, beautiful city and go to a land which I'm not telling you where yet. You just follow me." You know, imagine if God told us to do something like that. Okay? And so we see that somehow Abraham moved along with his father and others moved as well. But they didn't go as far as Canaan. They stopped at Haran. And there they camped and they lived there. And it tells us in verse 32 of Genesis 11, "The days of Terah were 205 years and Terah died in Haran." So Abraham got it. Had an encounter with God, was asked to move. He began the journey, but somehow his father and others tagged along and they slowed him down and he camped in Haran until his father's death. And Genesis 12 tells us, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" Okay? So here we see the voice of God coming to Abraham again saying, "Listen, leave your family. Leave everybody. I just want you to go to the land I've called you to." And God, when he commands, he gives great promises along with that. Now, these are amazing promises. "And I will make you a great nation." Who says God is not humorous? Like a few verses earlier, it says Sarah had no child. Why? She was barren. Okay, and God is saying, "Listen, I want you to leave all this, follow me, and I will make you a great nation." Wow. Okay. And "I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Wow. So one great nation, which requires supernatural intervention. He says, not only that, "I'll make your name great." Just for you to know, you know, Abraham is revered, not just among the Christians. He's revered among the Jews as well as those who follow Islam. Okay, he's a prophet in the Jews. He's the father of the Jewish nation. The Muslims regard him as a great prophet, and we regard him as a prophet. So his name did become great. Okay. "And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Okay. And here we see that the purpose of God exalting Abraham was not just for himself, but for a purpose. He says, "I'm going to do this in you. I'm going to bless you so that you will in turn be a blessing to others." And that's a principle of Scripture in every area of life. That God blesses us, whether it's financially or with influence or position or gifts. It's not just for ourselves, but it's so that we in turn can take the blessing of God and pour it out. Okay? You know, and really, it's like this. Think of Think of a pot. How much water can a... What's the biggest vessel that you have in your house? Yeah? This big, this big, this big. You know, it can hold maybe 5 liters, 10 liters, 20 liters, 30 liters. That's about it. Okay? But think of the pipes in your house. Okay? They can take thousands of liters of water. Why? Because they are open at the other end. And God doesn't want us to be pots that just say, Lord, bless me, and that's it. But He wants us to be pipes so that He can pour out abundance through us, and through us be a blessing to others. Anyway, let's go on. And then He gives another amazing promise. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Okay, here's another amazing promise of protection. He says, those who favor you, who bless you, will be blessed. Amazing promise. Okay, and those who curse you and those who dishonor you will be cursed. And we see that unfolding in Abraham's life. Okay, we don't have time to get into that, but we'll see that in subsequent weeks. That where he was received well, there was blessing, and where he was mistreated, there were consequences to the people who mistreated him. And in verse 4, we look at, so Abraham went as the Lord told him. And so finally in verse 4, Abraham obeys God fully. He leaves behind the rest of the family, just takes his wife, his nephew Lot, and their possessions. He had prospered in Haran, and he moves to the promised land, to Canaan. Okay? So in this introduction, we'll look at a few things that we learn about Abraham. The first thing is, Abraham is saved by faith. It's not because he was a good person. It's not because of anything in Abraham. He was an idolater. He was a sinner. He was far from God, but God chose him. It was by faith he was saved. Okay, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it talks about Abraham being justified by faith. Verse 6, he says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. God saves people the same way. Old Testament, New Testament. It's not by works so that man may boast, but by faith, by believing in God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good to know? Because our good works can never measure up to what is the entry requirements of heaven. Okay? But it's as we believe. In Abraham's time, he had to believe the word of God and the voice of God. There was no Bible. Special revelation, God appeared to him and he believed. For us, we have the word of God today. Okay? If anybody's going to be saved in this world today, it's as you and as I go and give them the word of God, the gospel. And as they believe in Jesus, salvation can come to them. In Romans 4 and in Galatians 3, we don't have time to get into that this morning, but Paul uses Abraham to the Jews, and he says, listen, even Abraham was not saved by works, he was saved by faith. You know, when people hear the gospel, it sounds so easy. He says, what? I just have to believe in Jesus, and my sins are forgiven, and I'll go to heaven, I'll receive the Holy Spirit. It sounds too easy, but it's believing Jesus at his word. So Abraham was saved by faith. Secondly, not only, before we go into the secondly, to say that God called Abraham to leave his family, to leave the situation where he was in, because there was a reason for that. One, he wanted to take him into Canaan, but secondly, perhaps living in that idolatrous environment would have not allowed him to live the life of faith that God called him to. He wanted to start off again. I want to say to you this morning, as Abraham was called, is God calling you this morning to leave something? If you are not yet, if you've not yet put your faith in Jesus, here's the opportunity to do so. To leave your previous way of life and to say, Jesus, I want to trust in you. Not in my good works or in anything else, but trust in you for salvation. Okay? But for those of us who are believers, is God calling you to move out of something, to let go of something and to get out of some place so that you can live the life of faith? You know, think about an alcohol addict, somebody who's addicted to alcohol. All right? If he wants to be set free from that, but he lives in an environment where there are other alcoholics and there's a bar next door, okay, it's very, very difficult to get out of that, isn't it? And really, you need to move and get out. And so this morning, here's a word to you. Is there, now, it may be a physical move. It may be a move of cutting off things. But what is God asking you to move from? Well, let's look at the second thing. Not only did Abraham get saved by faith, he lived by faith. What does that mean? That means he heard the voice of God and he obeyed it. Okay? Throughout the next 11 to 25 chapters, we see at different stages, seven times God appeared to Abraham, God spoke to him, and he obeyed God. Okay? So he's a man who lived by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 19. Hebrews chapter 11, where Abraham is in the great Hebrews Hall of Fame and Hall of Faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was yet to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow. You know, sometimes we're called to obey God and we don't know what's the outcome, but that's the walk of Abraham, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Okay, giving up a big city life to live in tents as a wanderer. That was a choice he made. So sometimes there is sacrifice as well. Okay, there is sacrifice involved. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is in God. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable sands or grains of sand by the seashore. So we see that not only was Abraham saved by faith, he lived by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? It means to read the word of God, hear the voice of God, and just obey. And we see that Abraham did it. Okay? He obeyed in leaving, he obeyed in circumcising, he obeyed at different stages. In Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Okay? And he repeats the promise. That I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abraham fell on his face and God said to him, okay, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. And then God says, no longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be called Abraham. Okay? What is the difference? Okay, Abraham means exalted father, but Abraham means father of a multitude. Now think about it. How many children did he have? None. Okay? But God said, I want you to change your name. It's like this. You know, we've got to get the import of that. You know, let's say there's a person who has no hair. Okay? And God says, change your name to O Hairy One. Okay? Amen. Dave says amen. Okay, now can you imagine his wife calling him? All the neighbors are there, you know, he's got no hair. Oh, hairy one! You know, and the neighbors is all smirking, hey, what's wrong with her? But that's exactly what it was. Abraham had no children, and Sarah would call him father of a multitude, and the neighbors are giggling. He doesn't even have one son. Have you seen how old he is? He's, 100 years old and she's 90, and what are they, you know? But really, Abraham said, I'm not thinking about what other people say. I'm not looking at physically myself as well. Okay, Sarah is beyond childbearing. My body's as good as dead. But I am believing the God who speaks and who creates. Okay, and that is walking by faith. Hearing, reading the word of God, hearing the voice of God, and then obeying it. And they obeyed. Okay, so for 1 year this went on. But the next year, Sarah was blessed with a child. All right, so there you have it. So So Abraham not just was saved by faith, but he lived by faith. You know, we've been circulating the declarations. Some of you, most of you may have got that. We'll put it on the interactive group. But, you know, I just picked up something from the internet that speaks about declaring the promises and the word of God. Okay? We know the Bible is full of hundreds, if not thousands, of promises. But how do we appropriate them? Okay, one of the ways is that as we just speak the word, something happens because we're speaking not our words, not our thoughts, but God's word. And that's important. And we've done that. We've been seeing amazing results. And I see here that Abraham and Sarah did the same thing. Okay, the Romans version of that is amazing. Abraham, you know, gave glory to God, being fully convinced that he had power to do what he had promises, and what he had promised, and that Abraham looked at his body and knew it was as good as dead, but he gave glory to God. He said, God can do it. Okay, so in our situations this morning, whatever the situation is, you may be saying, it's hopeless. I can't seem to get a job, get a husband, change my husband or wife, or, you know, studies, or I can't, see them changed. Let me clarify that. Okay, see them transformed. Okay, no misunderstanding. Okay, no reflection on the marriage course. Great. To see my husband or my wife or my child transformed. That's what it is. Okay. Yeah. And you're saying, God, is it going to happen? Doesn't look like it. You know, but I want to encourage you to confess and declare the promises of God. Okay, like Abraham and Sarah did. Okay, last thing. Not only did Abraham was saved by faith, lived by faith, but his life, his obedience was the evidence of his faith. Okay? And the greatest obedient act that he did is, of course, in Genesis 22, when God told him, after his promised son Isaac was born, God said, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, verse 1, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, here's one son, only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Wow, that must have come as a shocker, okay? All these years, God says, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a multitude of, you know, you'll be the father of nations and all nations. Oh, great, wonderful. And then finally, he gets one son through Sarah. One son, Isaac. Great. You know, if you had that one son, you would guard and protect that son, because through that son is where the multitudes are going to come. Then God says, okay, take that son of yours and offer him up as a burnt offering. He said, look at it. Take your son, your only son, Isaac. Now, probably if he had five sons, he may have considered one. But one son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. If you were Abraham, what would you do? Let me fast and pray. Is it really the voice of God? Give it time. All right? What did Abraham do? So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and he rose and went to the place on which God had told him. Wow, what a man of faith. He heard the voice of God and he said, I'm going to obey immediately. You know, people say delayed obedience is disobedience. In Abraham's case, it was quick obedience. It wasn't even late in the morning. Rose up early in the morning, packed and left. Wow, what a man of faith. And he trusted God amazingly. Okay? And really we see here, and then of course we know the rest of the story. He ties his son, he's going to kill him, and God says, stop. Whoa! What happens there? So, Genesis 22. Then they go there. And verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went together. When they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And God did an amazing thing. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Okay? And then God makes this amazing declaration in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. What an amazing promise. All right? Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. And God says, because you are willing to do that, this is it. We see in here a wonderful picture of the gospel. The ram provided. Jesus was our sacrifice for our sins. Okay? But really, we're looking at Abraham's obedience this morning. As Abraham obeyed, God calls us to obey as well. You see, God loves us. His love for us is unchanging. But Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. Okay, we demonstrate our love for God as we obey the commands of God. And so the walk of faith, we're saved by faith. Wow, that's it. Nothing we do or don't do can unsave us. But we've got to walk in obedience to faith. There's got to be works that follow faith. I think it was Augustine who said, we are saved by faith alone. But the faith that saves is never alone. Get it? So our salvation is by faith. That's it. We're not. But once we are saved, there have got to be works of faith that spring out. Okay? Those works don't add anything to our salvation, but they are the fruit and the evidence that we are truly saved. And I want to encourage you this morning. Okay? Let's be eager to do works of faith. But what can I do with what God has given me? I've got health. I've got money. I've got a home. Okay, I can serve. I can invite people over. I can host people. I can take the gospel out with others. Okay, we've got to do something with our salvation. Okay, it begins with faith. It ends with faith. But it's faith all the way. Okay, so Abraham is a great model and our great example. You and I are here today because Abraham was obedient. We are his spiritual descendants. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you so much for the life of Abraham, who's a model for us. Lord, I pray for each one of us that we who have been saved by faith would live by faith, and there would be works of faith that evidence our salvation. Lord, would you do that? But to each one of us, Lord, help us to follow in the footsteps of our father Abraham. Lord, would you do that by your Spirit, Lord, that we would stir one another to love and good deeds, Lord. Or we would trust you at your word, and we would obey you when you tell us to do things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.